It's solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of KBGI, the Common Ground, their affiliates, employees, or family members. The contents of this program are for informational purposes only. No advice of any type is being offered, nor are any products or services being solicited. Unauthorized rebroadcasting, editing, or distribution of this program are strictly prohibited.
Welcome to a special broadcast of Common Ground on Tuesday. Normally we are recording live on Thursdays. This week and next week our show will be Tuesday at 12 o'clock. So all those that are joining us for lunch, thank you so much. I'm Steve Noskin with my co-host Sherry Salas in the house. And we have a great topic today. We have a topic about vaccines. Not if you're for or against them, but more importantly, at this point, should they be mandated? I think that's important. But let's bring everybody up to date where we are at the show. The show was created to create common ground, to discuss two points of view and meet somewhere in the middle, because that's too divisive if we're each on each side and nobody's talking to each other. So we've created the show to talk to each other. Today's a little different format, as we only have one guest, the talented, extremely beautiful Jackie Schlegel with Texans for Vaccine Choice. She's going to talk in a minute. I just want to give everybody the update. The last two shows, and they are on our website. Our first show ever, Should We Arm Teachers, was a great show. And we had about 2,400 listeners. Last week, we had a show, Should We Have Prayer in School? And those were mostly school-related items. Now we're going to start going into national issues with vaccinations. And we had, when we posted the should we have vaccines mandated, we had so much commentary on our Facebook site. And people, please be respectful to each other.
Right.
I mean, common ground, right? We want to talk to each other. I don't think we should be abusive to anybody seeing what their positions are. I think we should respect everybody's position, because you wouldn't want someone to call you an idiot or a fool for your idea. So people, please, we love your comments. Keep them going even after the show. I mean, we still have comments.
I know.
From the last
it keeps
shows.
Popping up.
So if you want to use our page for political discussion, keep it up. We love it.
But ask your friends to like the page.
I mean, we're doing really well on views. I mean, doing really well. And we're so excited today. So without further ado, let's bring in our guest, Jackie Schlegel. And just, Jackie, give us a little background on where you are with vaccines, what your organization does, and the positions that you take.
Well, that's a loaded question. First of all, thank you so much for having me today. I'm over here trying to set up my social media. I hope I did it right, but I think I'm going to hand it over to my 13-year-old,
right?
Because she seems to be in the know on all of these things, which is actually kind of fun, because that's the beginning of the story for me. Like many people in this issue, I'm just a mom. So hopefully we can keep that in mind today as we're talking about the vaccine issue, that this journey started for me as a parent when I gave birth 18 years ago. If you can,
wow.
I know that's shocking.
You look so young
to everybody in this room that I have an 18-year-old.
I can't believe it.
But really, I was a very pro-vaccine parent. And I say that the truth of the matter is I wasn't overly informed on this issue. But I was vaccinated. So why wouldn't I vaccinate my children?
Right.
And that was just kind of, I researched many things entering parenthood, but I didn't give a lot of thought to this issue. And really, I hope what comes out of this show today is that we do have this discussion and we can respect other viewpoints, because I've been on all sides of this. But my daughter did have a very significant reaction to her vaccines at 4 months of age that left her permanently disabled. And that's kind of really what opened my eyes to the vaccine safety movement. Now, Texans for Vaccine Choice is a little different. Our name says it all. We are for vaccine choice. We believe parents should be informed on their medical decisions, and ultimately they should work with their medical providers to make the decisions that are best for them and their family. Because at the end of the day, you live with the consequences of these decisions, not somebody else in the community, just like I did for my daughter. So at the basis of Texans for Vaccine Choice are those basic fundamental principles of informed consent, medical privacy, and vaccine choice.
Right. And I appreciate that. And I just want our audience to know that, again, this is not whether you're for or against vaccines. This is, should they be mandated by the state? Should the state tell us that you need to vaccinate your child, or should you be vaccinated? And this is our teaser show, because we will have a show in approximately 4 weeks with someone who is pro-vax and someone who is against vaccines. And we're going to have a major discussion there, but this is just our teaser for our audience. And someone who's so knowledgeable like you are, I totally agree. When you first have a child, you know, what's the first thing, you know, the nurse takes your child, the doctors take your child, they're getting shots.
You can't
even
get into school until you prove you have your vaccine.
Right. So what are the exemptions right now in the state of Texas? Let's talk about that.
Well, we just got out of legislative session. I'm very proud of the work we did to maintain our rights here in Texas. But we do have religious, philosophical, and medical exemptions to go to public school in Texas. So we still have all three exemptions available. Many states are removing those rights to send your children to public school, but Texas is not one of them. At this point in time, you still do have rights to send your children to public school and opt out. I will tell you something we don't talk about often publicly, that we deal with in the movement, but doesn't get as much attention as the school-aged children, are adults in the workplace that are losing their right to work or to have employment because they're not getting up to date on all of the current adult schedule.
Let me ask, the states that have done this, do you...
The mandated?
Yeah, the
California,
ones that have...
California, New York.
Right, do you have the content as to why? What was their argument? What compelled those decisions?
Well, I think that's a fairly loaded question. It's a big, broad question, but clearly they have used this measles epidemic. I think that's been how they've been going about removing their rights, but ultimately they're saying they want to protect vulnerable children, which as a parent is fascinating to me because I am the parent of a medically complex child. My daughter is one of the 8,000 children in Texas considered medically fragile. And so when they're proposing these bills and they are bringing them up and they're saying we need to protect these kids, there's a lot of us in my community with these children that are saying, hey, hold on a second, you can't protect these children without consulting their parents. I mean, we're really the best ones to protect our children, number one, without the interference of the state. A lot of us, even if we don't agree on the vaccine issue, we can agree on the fact that the government doesn't always know what's best for the individuals, number one. So that's always fascinating when they want to protect my
child. Well, I think part of the conversation stems from the fact that government may or may not have an argument in that topic, but they have a whole lot of argument when it comes to our public spaces, like i.e. our public schools where most children are joined together. So it's kind of like, how does this topic and issue kind of influence or impact our public schools? I mean,
well, let's talk about that. So number one, many of our children who are medically fragile, they're not going to the grocery store in the middle of flu season, much less being enrolled in public school. I live this. I live this every single day with my daughter and the families that we serve. Okay. So that's one thing. Number two, I have three children. All of them are worthy of protection and all of them are worthy of this right to attend school. And I have to take in all of their considerations.
But the other side of the coin, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
sure,
is, you know, well, the common good of society, right? The pro mandate people say, you know, we have to protect all, and we understand the needs of your child. But, you know, your child could be infected, go to the supermarket, and there's an elderly or there's an infant, and they can contract the disease. How are we protecting
that infant
this part of society? Yeah.
So what about the child in public school who has HIV or hepatitis B? Because by law, they are protected to attend school with full medical privacy.
Wait, you said HIV and what else?
Hepatitis B. Active infections.
The transmission is different. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, but
so
you know,
that's
a kindergartner spreading HIV.
I mean, the point
with
of the mandate
with scissors in hand, cutting themselves.
Right,
but
I understand.
My
but the
child,
point of the mandate is let's protect society and all the common good. And while anti-vaxxers, and I know we're not talking about anti and pro, but anti-vaxxers will say, you know what, my child might have gotten autism, my child is suffering, my child, and I'm, again, not taking a position, but a pro-vaccine person would say, it's, you know what, for the small amount percentage that are hurt, the greater good, the greater commonality.
Well, I think you actually bring up a point that's very disturbing to me as a parent of a special needs child, because it's like, all day, every day, my phone rings with media, especially when I talk about the measles. And it's almost like they're wanting me to dismiss the parents' concerns about measles as if their concerns aren't valid or as if their children aren't worthy of respect and care and compassion. They absolutely are. But on the flip side of that, even if, let's just say if, I think it's very disputable, but even if vaccine injury is one in a million, is my daughter's life not worthy of that same compassion?
Oh, absolutely.
Protection?
But then take their side.
Yeah, take the flip side. You have autoimmune people that same thing. It's the same argument. But quite honestly, my position, what I was trying to introduce earlier, was more of a financial situation. Our schools to actually, let's say we take away vaccines altogether. And, okay, it is just the measles. And since I was prepping for the show, I realized, okay, the measles is semi not as horrible as I thought it was. Oddly, I just said that out loud. Anyway, but the reality is the flu in a public school can be a nightmare for... I'm sorry, I'm getting loud. There,
no,
you happy?
Get loud.
I know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the flu can make a teacher crazy because don't forget, they have all these tests that they have to get these kids to pass and they're being measured on. And there's so much pressure in the education and the learning environment right now. So on top of that, we're going to add these diseases that to some degree, if we go wheels off, it's going to be just basically
get me started on the flu because there's so many strains of flu.
I was just using the flu.
But you know what also gets me? Isn't mandating happening indirectly? I mean, our schools, you get the brochures too, Sherry.
Right, you have to.
They're giving flu shots in the school. We just saw on a political post.
That's not a mandate. That is a very highly suggested option.
It's not mandated, but aren't we sliding down that slope where the school district is promoting vaccines in their schools to make it easier?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it propaganda then? Right. By the people that are pro-mandate to try and influence to say this is what it has to be. So when the state does say, yeah, everybody's going, yeah, of course the schools are doing it.
I completely
CVS
agree that
it.
I think there probably are groups that would definitely push for this to happen for financial gain. But no, I
no
think.
No way.
But I do not think. I do not.
What are you talking about?
This could be a whole show in and of itself, what is happening in public schools. On the vaccine issue, I will tell you as a parent, I am very, very concerned that we are removing the parent from medical decisions. Even if you choose to vaccinate your child, which we fully support, by the way, if you are informed and you make that decision, we believe you have the right to go vaccinate your child. But to hand your child off and allow that during school hours without you there, I have a real hard time with that, number one. And number two, we've had cases all across the state of Texas where children have been wrongly vaccinated. And as a parent, I just want to talk about, why are we even allowing this in public school? Why is this?
Well,
this is where children go to get educated. And now
Jackie,
we're doing
I can answer.
These
I think
clinics?
I can answer to some of that. In my opinion, I think the school and certain entities provide it on a level like that because it's cost effective for people that may not be able to afford to take their child to their primary care. They may not even have a primary doctor or insurance because they can't afford it because they have other kind of clinics all over town. Like when it becomes flu season and you can
know,
get it.
Once again, it's interesting because I have a child on Medicaid, okay, mm-hmm. who relies on that program. And I promise you, there is no shortage of free shot clinics or access to medical doctors to make these decisions with. There may be a lot of obstacles, but that's might be not so. One of them.
That might
I think,
be so,
I think it's
but
more of a logistical.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, George.
As well, so.
But you know, getting back to the mandating, and that's really concerning because you could take both sides of the coin here because individual rights for your child.
Right.
It's so important. We always say, no, you know, I'm going to pick the school that my child's going to go to, whether it be homeschool, charter school, public school. I'm choosing all these different things for my child. I'm the benefactor of my child. And then all of a sudden the state says, we know what's best for your child for the common good. We lose our individual rights. And I think that's where it comes down to. Where does it come that you lose your individual rights to the state where they could just come in and say, because is it a slippery slope where they mandate, say, shots now? Why can't they mandate how you control the temperature in your house?
No, I completely agree. Actually, Rick Perry tried to do this in 2007 with the HPV virus. Yes.
And that was a disaster.
It was a major disaster.
There are, what, over 300 vaccines in the making today? I mean, do you understand? Once you hand over that right to make that decision, you're signing up for whatever comes down the pike. Is that terrifying to anybody else but me?
That's why pro-choice is so important. And that's why this show is so important to talk about mandating in general. Because let's take Jackie's point. Okay, we had it.
Y'all, hold on. I got to jump in because Jackie seems very reasonable and responsible. And I know a lot of reasonable and responsible people, but unfortunately, there are a lot that aren't. So when you're mandating.
So let's pass a law to in those. I mean, let's take the worst case scenario of those who are negligent and take away the rights of all of us.
No, I definitely get the argument. I'm just saying it's not just a matter of.
Well. Okay, let's just take this Facebook thread that happened yesterday where you even suggested there was going to be somebody on talking about the vaccine issue. And immediately the threat started that I was a child abuser. Okay, why is it with this topic? We can talk about so many different things, but as soon as you even discuss vaccines, if it's anything
it's like
other than vaccines are good for all people all the time without question, then you're a science
it's
denier who doesn't care about society.
I agree. That's true.
When we
true.
Have social events at my house, okay, right. And we bring people, we say, all right, everybody sit down. Nobody's going to talk about religion, politics, or vaccines. We put that.
Oh,
right there
I completely agree. And quite honestly, I would put those people in the same category as the ones that I was saying is not reasonable and responsible. Hey, I have to jump in because we got a message on Facebook that I want to ask Jackie how she's going to respond from our friend Karen.
Karen, welcome. Karen. Hey, shout out to Karen.
She taught in school with a teacher who was pregnant and literally lost her baby because the student had the measles. What do we say to that?
That's great horrifying question. And sad. And what else would I say other than I'm sorry? That is a terrible situation.
So,
and I would go on to say, I deal with families on a regular basis that have also lost their babies when they got a flu shot or a Tdap during pregnancy. And as a society, again, I don't understand why we put one group above the other. But sincerely, that's a really terrible situation. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
So let me ask you then do we evolve to when a teacher decides to have a baby, she has to not be in her classroom? Like,
that's a great point, Jackie.
I was going to say, so then we start mandating our educators because, I mean, I know we're keeping this just to the classroom, but I think that's because we have the majority of young people gathered on a regular basis. I mean, we could take it outside. What about?
Well,
like,
should we start pulling blood titers to check everybody in that classroom to make sure they actually develop immunity?
Yeah, because that's a great point, too, because just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean
doesn't
that you can't get the disease.
That is true.
In fact,
do we draw the line?
Well,
I mean, are you going to get in line first to give your blood and make sure? Are you vaccinated?
Yes, I am. And so are my children, but we don't do the flu shot.
What?
But up to date, because most adults don't realize that there's an entire adult schedule. I forget the latest statistics, but it's a really high number.
How many vaccines did we have to take? I'm older than you, but when I
have them on my...
Yeah. How many vaccines? How many is I can't read that? Well, 1962. Okay,
Jackie brought
enough
information.
How many did
I?
How many
I love
did
info.
I? How many?
So this was my schedule. I mean, not
hey,
to
turn that to the camera. Maybe
where is the camera? I don't even know where the camera is. I can't
know.
See.
All right, before
myself.
You do that, we do have to take not a leaving break, but a break to talk about our sponsors real quick. So we are sponsored by our premier sponsor, Elevated Roofing, and we have two other sponsors, Porsche Plano and Leisure Living Pool. And this segment was brought to you by our premier sponsor, Elevated Roofing. And I know I've talked about my experience with Elevated Roofing and the tremendous job that Kenny Gammons and James Honeycutt have done on my particular roof. But what's really amazing to me, George and Sherry, is that they are so professional. Their trucks are just spotless. Have you seen their trucks? They have these brand new 350s.
Do they do car wash too?
I don't know. I think they might do car washes too, but they do painting. They actually just came to my house. They're prepping my house for painting after the hail damage. Yeah. They actually do the fencing and everything. So what happened was Ricardo, who's with Elevated Painting, called me up out of the blue and he goes, "Do you know what on your fence? I'm prepping your fence and you're missing the bolt
really
to
nice
the gate,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
I go, oh, all right, I'll go out and get one. No,
you
Mr.
already
Dustin.
Did it.
Yeah, I got it done already. I'm like, wow, holy mackerel. So if you have a problem, seriously, with your roofer, with your roof, or your roofer.
Roofer?
No, we don't want roofers.
No,
right?
No. Just okay. Roofers.
Or dogs.
That's shower
well.
Time.
Right. Isn't that the Babe Ruth joke? No?
Yeah.
Is that way?
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. So if you need a roofer, you have a problem with your roof, if you ever have hail damage, which I pray you don't, call Elevate Roofing, James Honeycutt, and Kenny Gammons. Great people, great company, Frisco-based. They will help you out. Okay, so I'm sorry.
All
so
right.
Before we went to break, you were giving us how many vaccines from 1962 did I have to take when I
five.
Was... I had five.
Five doses.
And you
1983,
had
24 doses.
And today?
73, but I actually believe that has increased just a handful in the latter part of the year.
Now, can you just tell me,
yeah,
1962,
flu, the
wait,
flu is on that
yeah,
list.
Yeah, but wait, 1962.
This is the
polio.
CDC recommended schedule.
No, I know, I get it. I'm just saying the flu, it has influenza 4, influenza.
And
blah,
we
blah,
actually
blah.
Had a bill in Texas 4 years ago that would have mandated that.
Oh.
Okay, so mandated, the reason why we have to have choice, again, why I believe that choice is important, whether you're for or against vaccines, and I understand... This is not my, I know I said it why I believe, but I'm saying where I could see the position of is, you know, your independent choice for your child. But more importantly, you know, where does the state stop getting involved? I think it's really important for me as a constitutionalist, because that's what I am.
Me too.
Is that I don't want the state telling me what to do. And I understand for the safe being of everybody else. I get that. And I understand the part about the elderly and the infants. I get that.
I was going to say, but when you give this group that right, you remove this group's right.
But if you're
way.
Vaccinated, you're protected.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about the ones that are vaccinated. I'm talking about the ones that can't be vaccinated.
Well, where I was going, Mrs. Salas, was the basis of some of these vaccines.
Oh,
okay, I understand. I understand. I understand the polio.
I'm ready.
I understand the polio. Get it. I totally get it. Okay. I understand some of these serious
I'm not
diseases.
Talking about polio. That
well,
was...
I had the measles. I had smallpox.
I'm not talking about those. My mother, who has lupus, if she gets the flu, and this is coming from someone who does not get the flu shot for her family. If she gets the flu, it is very different. She could die.
So every the state
at the very
say,
least,
everybody that knows your mom should around her should get the vaccine.
No, what happens is my mom has to go indoors and stay indoors, and thank goodness she has the luxury and the privilege of being able to be in bed and away forever long.
So based on that, you're telling me so if the whole world had vaccines, she could live a normal life.
No, of course not.
Well,
because
then, right.
But I think you multiply that story times however many. And I'm not saying that we should mandate. I'm just saying there are definitely two
That's
sides.
That's what the show's about.
I know it is. And I'm sorry. But the show is about common ground. And the common ground is that both sides need to acknowledge that this is an issue for both sides.
Exactly.
And try and figure it out in a reasonable and responsible
and
way.
And that is why Texans for Vaccine Choice exists.
It is the common ground.
The common ground that you get to decide with your chosen medical provider what is best for you, your children, and your family. You don't take a flu shot.
But Jackie, is your group doing research into what this does to our healthcare benefits, because you're going to have less people getting vaccinated. So you're going to have people in the hospital with measles. You're going to have people out of schools. You're going to have people in schools getting other people sick. So then our healthcare.
Well, you're assuming everybody's not going to vaccinate. So right now, we just came out.
I'm technically just trying to create conversation.
Let me bring up a point about that, because it is very fascinating, because no, my organization does not participate in research on vaccines or statistics or any of that. I'm sure there's a lot.
You just want pro-choice.
Exactly. That's what we're here fighting for.
Do your research yourself.
But there are two schools in Austin. As a matter of fact, my children used to attend one of these schools. It had a very high opt-out. Over 30% of the children were opting out of vaccines each and every year. But you want to know what never happened at that school?
What?
We never had outbreaks. It was fascinating. Every single year, the media would go nuts and go wild and talk about these hotbeds. And this is just a hotbed of disease waiting to happen. And yet my children attended that school year after year. There were never any outbreaks. Why aren't we studying this? Why aren't we figuring out why there weren't any disease outbreaks? But you want to know what there was? There were threats against these children each and every day. One of the reasons, among several, that I pulled my children out of the school is because the media went nuts this, exposing this campus. And there were adults out there that believed that they could call the school and make threats against these children. That is what we are signing
up
to do.
That's where I was going.
Oh, I can totally get on board.
Let's
with
talk
that.
About, since we're talking about mandate, who's pushing for the mandate? Are it the politicians? Are the politicians because the lobbyists are pushing?
Rick Perry, 2007?
Is it the
Absolutely.
Media?
Absolutely.
But I'm saying,
sure.
I'm
I was
saying,
being snarky.
Why is there such a push?
I'm like, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it, because the outbreaks, yeah, we hear about it more and more in the news, but is the media part of that process?
I mean,
you go on any major news station and you see the advertisements by Big Pharma. Okay, the lobbyists are out of control.
And that's what I was going to say, is what is the motive behind
this? But
because we keep talking about protecting our children. Is that what this is really
about?
Well,
hold on. Because I looked into this, because everybody wants to say, okay, Big Pharma's in for this. Okay, don't they stand to gain more money on some level if they just change their game plan to letting people not vaccinate? Because then they're going to be treating people.
Okay.
But they'll be sitting in hospitals.
They make a ton of money on these vaccines. All of a sudden, when Ebola came in, three people that came in, one of them actually was in Texas. Oh, we're going to be working on a vaccination on Ebola. So, I mean, where does it...
Can we talk about 1986?
1986.
Do we know what
happened in the World Series in 1986?
That's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
We're talking about the law that shields manufacturers from liability for vaccines.
That's a problem.
Why aren't we holding the manufacturers liable for their product? Why do we not have free market when it comes to vaccines?
Okay, we're getting into a different conversation
though.
How is that a different? You have
I'm going to go in a very different way if we start that conversation.
We're going to mandate a product that has no liability?
That's a good point. She makes a good point.
Okay, I'm just
imagine any other product. Name one other product in the country that we mandate and the manufacturer is not liable for. This is outrageous. I don't care where you sit on this issue. You ought to be able to have some sort of recourse if you are injured by a product.
I totally agree with that.
Okay, so I want to take a few Facebook. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I kind of want to
take a Facebook.
I wanted to get on Facebook because I know this is like a massive question that we need Jackie to speak to.
Yeah.
Does vaccines cause autism?
You know, here's the thing about vaccines is so much we do not know about vaccines, truly. When you look at the schedule and you see that it's never been tested in its entirety for safety, there are so many flaws, there are so many questions. And this is what I can tell you from a parent perspective. And somebody asked this on Facebook earlier. They said, what is the professional qualifications? I'm a mom. I disclosed that right out of the gate.
You did disclose it.
I come here.
I just didn't like when she said just.
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
Because I think that's what a lot of parents are doing. They're just giving up their rights when they're saying, "Yeah, let's get vaccinated," And but you need that
I
protocol.
Say, I look, you're talking to just a mom and a lot of those people in those
just
comments.
Wow.
Mr. Mom. That was a good movie, by the way. Thanks.
I totally get that. Okay, so what about the reality? Okay,
can I finish answering that? Okay,
sure.
As do vaccines cause autism or the health outcomes? I can tell you, I travel all across the state. I've spoken to thousands of families, and there's two groups that I deal with on a regular basis, okay? And this is just my experience, and I think we need the research to back it up, okay? I think we have to do the research. But city after city, family after family, people will come to me and they will say, I started to vaccinate my children. I have asthma, I have allergies, I have autism, I have autoimmune, I have all of these different things. And then we stopped and now I have healthy children that are unvaccinated. And then I go to these homeschool conferences with thousands of unvaccinated families and children. And they're healthy.
Well, let's go back to the mandated part, because aren't a lot of people homeschooling their kids who don't want to vaccinate their children? So they decide on homeschooling because they don't want to be forced into the vaccine. That's number one. I have a couple. And number two is from the religious exemption. Those people who believe for religious reasons, not of consciousness, because I know that's the other one, called righteous not consciousness or something like that. Anyway, so for religious exemption, those people that are, you know, they believe very fervently in their beliefs that they don't want to use, say, fetal tissue that's used in a lot of vaccines and they're injected into their body. So by mandating, that's where I'm going. How is that really? It's compromising individual rights.
Well, I think we could all agree that the people that are making the vaccines have more homework to do. I think every American could get behind that.
I agree with that.
Pro or anti.
Well, you say that, but that is actually something they have refused to do. Is they're not looking at this issue in depth like they, I know that is a line. They say, we've done the research. You know, it's done. It's over. It's finished. You know, it's been discredited. It's been debunked. But it truly has not happened. And one of the reasons they claim is that it would be unethical to study vaccinated versus unvaccinated, that they could not carry out that research because it would require some individuals not getting vaccinated. What I would argue and tell you from my experience is there's thousands of unvaccinated children out there that already meet the criteria, and we ought to research it, and we ought to research it right now.
Aren't there vaccines they pull off the market because they didn't work well, because they weren't tested, and then they find out of the disastrous results?
There are, but the government has actually stated that it's very that adverse reactions of reporting is severely underreported. It's not a very accurate system, and we know that. I mean, I certainly didn't know how to report a reaction in my child, and I would argue many doctors don't even know how to identify or walk their parents through what happens if you leave this doctor's office and there is a severe reaction.
Yeah, but a lot of doctors call. Like, my doctor calls literally 24 hours after and say, hey, I mean, the vet calls after 24 hours.
Well, based on that, seriously.
My argument on the mandating is the people that you're saying would be suggesting the mandating are the ones that... Hold on, George. I guess I'll say this to Jackie. Jackie, what I was saying is the people that are going to be doing the mandating are the ones that should be requiring the pharma groups to do their homework. Not within, I mean, heavens to Betsy's. We know that's not going to be effective. I'm saying if we are going to have true conversation about mandating, then those people wishing to mandate need to get up off their hiney and make sure they're delivering a product that is of American standards.
And I would agree with that, but let me just go on the record and state right now, you have
she agrees with that.
You have fun with that project.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
meantime, I'm going to be over here fighting for your rights to make these decisions
you
for yourself.
You definitely have a point. She has a very valid point.
They go and do all the science in the world. Mm. I'm not handing this right over. Period. Not happening. So
I am not arguing with that.
Do the research, do the science, put the safest products on the market. But at the end of the day, these are my children. I live with the responsibility. I live with the consequence of that outcome, and I want a choice.
What I find
But do your
is
kids go to public school?
Research. Absolutely.
Do your kids go to public school?
mine do not know.
All right. But my concern is, again, even though it's not literally mandated, I brought up before about lobbyists and the pharmaceuticals, but now you have many doctors, like pediatricians, that you'll go into for the first time with your child, okay? And they'll say, okay, we're going to give you a vaccination, and they go and say, I choose not to. They'll throw you out of the practice.
I'm sorry. So, that's their right.
No, I understand, but there's so many of them because they are influenced, in my belief, by the pharmaceutical companies as well. So that's why I think what's really important, and we're going to take a slight break here, but let me just talk about one of our sponsors, and I'm going to get right back to that. So this segment is sponsored by Porsche Plano, and Porsche Plano is a very unique dealership. There are other Porsche dealerships in the DFW area, but Porsche Plano really excels on service. I mean, when you first walk into their facility, they greet you very warmly. They sit you down in their concession area, which is kind of pretty cool. They have some really, nice. Did you see the chips they had there?
The chips, it's Coke.
Coke, they have apples, right?
Yep.
Starbucks coffee, yep. Big TVs. I like the big TVs.
Nice screens. Yeah.
And they try and get you in and out of there. But what's really unique, what I really like, is when they give you a loaner car, they actually give you a Porsche. It's not like, oh, your car's got to go for service. We got this.
VW?
Who said that? Not me. I didn't say that. So it's always really good to go there. The service people are so accommodating. They wash your car. By the way, their car washes at Porsche Plano, they're done by hand. They don't go into a machine. So I actually said, where are you washing my car? And I said, come back here, Mr. Noskin. And I walked back there, and they have like this whole shop set up in this like cinder block area. And there's like 10 people like hand washing
I
my car.
I need this place.
Porsche Plano.
I've got to go.
Do you have a Porsche?
No.
Then you will. That's okay.
There you go, so, Jackie.
It sounded amazing.
You need to go buy
it. Go see it for myself.
Well, thank you. It's a great place, and that's where I buy my cars. I love them. I love Neil Conklin, great salesperson. I love the service department, Jeff Udy. He gets a kick out when I send his name, so I do. But coming back now to the show, I want to summarize here for our audience who may be tuning in. We are talking about should vaccinations be mandated, and our guest here, Jackie Schlegel, who's Texans for Vaccine Choice, is telling you basically do the research yourself and you make the decision. If you want to vaccinate your child, that's your decision, and the state should say, okay, you know what, you want to vaccinate your child, go ahead. But on the other hand, if you want to use your individual rights and you do the research and you don't feel comfortable with it, then you should have that choice too. So she's in the middle. I know that some of her language tends to support anti-vax, and she has her reasons because she has her own child. But basically, we're talking about mandating. Should the state come in and tell you that you have to have your child vaccinated? And of course, I just want to say again, because it's in the beginning of the show, so people that haven't heard, we will have another show, Sherry, in about 4 weeks with a pro-vaxxer.
We've already had a comment. They can't wait till we have somebody on.
Pro-vaxxer.
They don't like me. Is that what they said?
No.
Get rid of this.
No, so everybody wants to hear.
We have a local doctor. I'm not going to mention his name because we don't usually tell our guests until right before. But a doctor that's very pro-vax. And we have someone who helped in the development of the film Vax, which is an anti-vax movie. He's going to come in too from Austin. It's going to be a great show.
Is it anti-vax or does it show flaws in the vaccine program? Which one
I'll
is
let
it?
Our guest is
right.
So I'm not going to put
that's
that
above
in
our pay grade.
Yeah, we just commentary. So we're back here. We're back here live here at KVGI. Great station. Mark Warren, a great guy. Hey, Mark. How you doing, buddy? He just waved at me. That's good. So where'd we leave the conversation? So I was talking about, you know, should we let the state come in? And we talked about different ways that I believe that the state is influenced. There are other influences that are happening in regard part and parcel with the state, whether it be the schools having these vaccinations or doctors throwing you out or whatever. Because you're finding more and more doctors, I believe, are being intimidated. When I went for my personal checkup, which I do every year, by the way. Everybody should do that once a year, by the way.
Especially. I agree.
Okay. So my doctor, first thing he says to me when I'm sitting there.
Have you got the flu shot?
Naked. No.
Because, naked.
Because,
oh, Lord.
That's something you don't want to see. And that's why I'm on the radio. But
amen.
Marianne, are you listening?
He asked me, do I have my updated tetanus shot? Every time. Every single
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Why? I mean.
Like, you have my chart in front of you. You tell me.
But you know that they're all the doctors are the same. They have this script. When you go in, when I take my kids in the picture, do you have your shots? Do you have your shots? My daughter's going to college. Do you have your shots? Do you have your meningitis? It's like, it's a constant barrage. And again, not taking an opinion, to protect society, is that why? But again, Shouldn't we choose? Shouldn't we use our religious exemption if we believe that we shouldn't have fetal tissue pumped into our bodies? Should, you know, if I don't believe in any medication at all, unfortunately, we hear about people that die in hospitals. I'm not saying for good or bad, who are religious enough that they say, I don't want any intervention. I believe God will take care of me no matter what. Those people passed away, but
think,
they had that right.
I think you make a very valid argument, and I support people, you know, religious. The thing is if you're going to make that choice, you also need to be willing to accept the consequences that comes with that choice, i.e. the lady that lost her baby, the family that was not vaccinated in that classroom, which I get it. We can't go do blood tests in an entire classroom, but that family is now going to live forward knowing that that happened and it could have been prevented.
What do you think? I feel like looking at my daughter every single day, as a matter of fact, on the way here, she was having a really hard time because that's what happens when you have a brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
You can have moments where you just struggle. And she was struggling. And she called me. And when we hung up the phone, I told my other daughter here, I'm like, why is it every time I'm going in to do a show like this and I have to speak candidly, I have a moment that just stops me dead in my tracks.
That's definitely.
And you know what? Maybe this is why. Because I need to share this story. I was a pro-vaccine parent. I didn't think about it. I didn't question it. I just did what my doctor said. And now the outcome is I have this permanently disabled child, which she's still a person and she has a life and it's valuable. But yet the rest of society disregards her. Not only do they disregard her, they hate her mother.
No, I don't think. I think
we don't hate you.
I don't. And even my comment is to actually present that this is not an easy solution. And so if we're going to not.
It's not. But as a society, look, open up the newspaper. Look at the news.
But Jackie,
what
the
do
reality
they say
is,
about wait, families like
we live
mine.
In America where we're not going to go and I'm so sorry because Grace sitting right down there, honey. I love you. Here is the thing, though. We live in America. We're not going to go count out the number of people that are being impacted this way and count out the number that is being impacted this way and then make a decision based off who is the least. That's why I don't know if mandating is a solution. I think that's why I say go back to the people that are wanting to yell mandate and say, hey, no, you need to do better. Because I do think it's a huge slippery slope.
How about we just get the government out of this decision? Because it seems like everything the government
hold on, because
goes south.
Because you go back to my statement about some people are just not reasonable and responsible.
Therefore, we need government. That's the problem. That's how America thinks. You're willing to hand over your rights because you believe other people aren't qualified to live their lives.
Some people don't want to be bothered. I'm not saying me. I'm here to create conversation. I'm saying some people, they just want to vaccinate and send their kids to school or send their sick kids to school because they need to go to work because they need
to
pay their bills.
Well, therefore, let's just have the government come in and make all of our personal decisions. How about my finances? Maybe they should take that over because,
like,
you know, I really don't like doing
like
that.
What was your analogy?
Well, I'll tell you what temperature you should have your house because that's a reality. I think during one of the presidential administrations that we had previously, they wanted to put smart meters on your house and make sure that you didn't overuse electricity and didn't use too much water. So, let's take that. I mean, if there's a good analogy, a water shortage, right? The city gets involved and tells you to reduce your water. And it isn't really my right to say, no, I want to use more water. Isn't that the common good again?
Can we talk about something position? That just took place in California?
Sure.
There is a bill that I'm not exactly sure where it is in their legislature there, but it limits how many exemptions, vaccine exemptions, medical, a doctor can write for their patients. Last I looked, I think it was like maybe 5 or something. So now, the state of California first removed the rights of the parents to make these decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. But they assured the citizens, you will have that right with your doctor. We will allow the doctor-patient relationship to continue. Now, here we are just a few short years later. The state of California has decided, oh, wait a minute, we don't like the outcome of this. So now we are going to introduce a new law that interferes in the doctor-patient relationship. Where is it going to end?
Well,
yeah, but you could argue as well. You could also argue that that might be California trying to deal with
California,
what I am
America.
Trying to say is it's not a simple answer.
Listen, do you ever see the movie The Giver?
No. Maybe.
Anybody see the movie The Giver?
No.
What's, all right.
Well, it's a great movie. You should watch it. Anyway, in the movie, it takes place kind of in the future. And every day when you leave your house, take a shot. And what they, in the movie, it comes out that by taking the shot, it dulls your memory because they don't want you to remember anything from your past. They want you to be dulled out. So it was stayed in force because they didn't want you to remember before when man was bad and when man had competition and all these things because it's well into the future. So they had this society that didn't have conflict. It has nothing to do with that, but the point is that the society itself made you take the shot in order to be a certain way. And by mandating, aren't we doing that? Aren't we saying, we know what's right for you. These are the diseases that you need to protect the rest of us from. And some people actually say by getting certain diseases, and again, I don't have all the factual information. I know we'll get a blow up on Facebook about that. But that by getting certain diseases, doesn't it increase your immune system? Don't you become stronger as a human being? Just like, you know, people that, you know.
Yeah, for example, but Steve, that introduces some of the convo that I read in my research before, as well as somebody has mentioned it on Facebook. There's an argument out there that I'm sure Jackie's going to chime in on, that a lot of non-vax homeschool, you know, some of the thinking is because some of these families are more affluent, so they have the ability to. Girl, I'm just making the argument.
I'm just laughing because bear with me, honey. I'm like the opposite.
Hold on, girl. Hold on. Stay with me because I'm trying to create. You know. So, but listen, it is true because I had a conversation with someone who's pro-vaccine, and you know, it frustrates me as a mom. Someone, and I'm not saying this, but I'm saying if I were pro-vaccine hardcore. You know, a person, a man who's not vaccinated, goes into an elevator, has the measles, doesn't know he has the measles because, you know, it doesn't show. He sneezes in the elevator and then that lives there for however long. But here is where my problem is. The person that's going to be mad about, you know, vaccinate or don't vaccinate, they're going to go feed their kid a bag of M&Ms, which, and you were talking about allergies and everything. We don't know that stuff just comes from vaccines. There's like research that it comes from food dyes. I mean, food coloring causes all kinds of stuff too. So there is kind of a mentality that there is a group of people that have the ability to worry about these things more. And I can tell you, as someone who has a child who has a disease who needs to be gluten-free, it is way more money. It is. Unless you have the time to prep everything yourself, which some of our families do not. They have to work. So what do you have to say about that argument?
Ooh, okay. I'm not entirely sure. There seemed to be about 15 questions in there.
No, sorry, girl.
There were about 12.
I'm just trying to compel like the whole affluent argument that there are some families and parents who have the ability to say, I want choice because they have the ability to pursue the responsibility that comes with choice. And it also actually goes back to mandating. Doesn't mandating allow? So let's say some families can't afford the vaccine. Wouldn't mandating saying your child can't come to this school unless they're vaccinated, then that forces other entities.
They'll give it to you for free.
Like right. They have to because you can't tell a child you can't come here.
Paid, right?
Right.
Well, no, whatever. You can't tell a family you can't go to this public school because you can't afford to be vaccinated. So wouldn't that compel another variable that would say, hey, we're
going to provide.
Well,
in that case, let's just mandate them all. I mean, you know.
Girl, if I could, I would mandate a few other things if I could.
But what you said.
Maybe just a little.
Sherry. Sherry, your point was people aren't, quote unquote, smart enough or care enough or have the choice.
I didn't say smart enough.
Well, you said
I said
might,
had enough money if I need to take
the money in there. You know, people might not make the right decision. So the state should come
and
in and make the
this
decision
is what's
for
so
them.
Horrifying
no, I didn't say
is
that.
I keep on coming back to that because, first, look, I get it. I'm a single parent. I homeschool. Okay. I feed my children on a gluten-free diet. And I keep hearing all of these what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. At the end of the day.
They're not what ifs. Some of them, Jackie. Let's say you take away mandating. I can tell you, especially maybe not here because where we live.
We don't have mandating.
Well, no, if we do, because you keep saying that's our topic. So I'm trying
sorry,
to say.
Sorry.
And you're right. Let's make that clear. But I'm saying in some socioeconomic locations, if you make it to where this child who's going to go to school, which for some people is free childcare, cannot come to this school because they're not vaccinated, or they can come, but you can get this free vaccine. I can guarantee you to some degree that vaccine may or may not determine that. And then people are just going to stop doing it if it's not required.
If vaccines are so great and so good, why do we have to mandate them? Wouldn't we all be lining up to get all of them?
Wow.
Oh, that's a very valid point.
Right. Protect the common, you know, we have to protect everybody. Some people can't make those decisions, Jackie, so we need to make sure that everybody's protected from these diseases.
So, you know, a couple years ago, this one sitting next to me, one of my children had developed this cough and it wouldn't go away. So we ended up going to urgent care. And sure enough, she needed a medication. And the doctor came into the room and said, this was not our normal primary care physician that we normally work with, that we have a very good relationship with, that respects our decisions. For the record, this was urgent care. And she gave us a choice of two medications. One was oral, one was an injectable. And I say, I would like the package inserts on both. And she kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And said, well, they're both safe. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. But I'm sure they both have side effects because every medication does. And I would like to read about that and then make the decision. And this concept was baffling to her for whatever reason. Maybe a lot of parents don't ask these questions, but I am that parent. I'm the parent who reads the food labels. I read the medication labels. And I would urge you to do the same. Again, this is not me here telling you don't go get your vaccines. This is me telling you have the conversation with your chosen medical provider and decide what works best. After we had the discussion, after she gave me the package inserts, clearly one was more suitable for my daughter in our situation than I felt more comfortable with. And we were able to come to a conclusion what worked best for us. That's what this is about. And I don't understand why we accept that on other similar product, but not vaccines. Right, that's baffling to me.
On that note, we just want to say that our last segment coming up is sponsored by Leisure Living Pools. Leisure Living Pools, a local company here in Frisco, has been around, I thought it was 20 years. I actually saw that it's been over 30 years in this area, right? That's incredible. And I went through...
Multi-generational, no?
Yeah, Andrew's there and Scott. So Andrew's the son, Scott's the owner. Like I mentioned in previous shows, Scott literally goes to the site himself and checks your grade because the grade in Frisco especially is so irregular. I mean, my area in Phillips Creek, I mean, it just moves so much and you might get other parts like Newman Village or Starwood that doesn't move at all. But Scott knows the area, knows it well, knows the topography. He knows how to build pools. I've seen some pictures with his infinity pools and he uses some really unique types of products too that I haven't really seen, like for their gazebos and for their decking, and they just do a tremendous job. They do it from start to finish. So they'll meet with you, go over the whole plan, design your whole backyard, basically, even the landscaping, everything that you need to make.
Do they do the design like you can revisit it at a later date? So in other words, give you the whole thing. So then if you can't do the landscaping or the barbecue pit 1 year, you can do it the next
year. Oh, yeah. You can phase it in for sure.
Food and pools.
Phase it in.
He gives free barbecues. No, just kidding.
I need it after this show.
Woo. But thank you for Leisure Living Pools for being one of our sponsors. Now we have about 7 minutes left, and we can talk a little further about this. I just want to mention for everybody who's waiting anxiously for Marianne's moment, that unfortunately Marianne isn't here today. She's at my daughter's orientation, TCU. And hey, shout out to you, babe. I hope you're having a good time.
Yes, Marianne, we miss you.
We do miss Marianne's moment, but she'll be back on July 2nd. So we're going to talk for about another 5 minutes, and then we have to close the show. Go ahead.
All right, I do have another comment from our friend Karen.
Yes,
she's been so resourceful because she's been in the classroom for so long. So what do we do with the classroom environment where you have a vaccinated and you have an autoimmune? Are we then okay with asking the leader of that classroom and or whatever the campus to kind of issues that's going to cause for, you know, the environment, a classroom, Lord knows, bullying. And anytime we can 86 somebody or, you know, put them in a corner, it happens, and especially in a middle school,
a
middle schooler. I know. What do we say about that?
You know, again, I'm going to come back to being the parent of a complex care kid. I just am so wildly uncomfortable with using these kids to justify removing the rights of other children in the classroom. I can hardly take it. Look,
no.
I would love for my daughter to go to school. I would love for her to participate. I would love for her to be active and engaged. But her health does not warrant it. And guess what? It stings. I don't like it.
I completely agree with you, but hold
but
on, Jackie.
I'm not
going to
put her in a classroom.
I'm not speaking for the kid,
other
though.
Children to compromise on what's best for them to protect her. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not speaking on the kids because I get both sides of the child argument. I'm talking about we are then introducing a different situation for that teacher and that learning entity. It becomes a different reality. And what are we asking them to do?
So what are we asking that teacher to do? What is the question?
Instead of teaching whatever this whatever a certain standardized test in the state
of Texas
requires.
She should manage the health of our children.
She has to manage the relationship or actually lack of the relationship of those two children. They should technically, and I don't know, I'm not a teacher, I'm just relaying the info.
Let me ask you this question.
But it makes sense.
Let me ask you this question. Should people be, or should the information be put out there? Who's vaccinated?
But then we're getting into a CO, civil of office of CO.
I want to know
civil
all the children in the classroom.
And they should ask.
You know what I want to know? And I'm saying this, please bear with me here, people, to make a point, okay? I want to know the other children on psychotropic medications and what the side effects of those are before I send my children
to
the classroom.
We might need to write that down for another topic.
We do have that topic.
Where are we going to draw the line, people?
Mental health, you know, the state of Texas just passed a whole
Wait, because mental health could be very varied, whereas...
But they're letting the teachers determine who is...
No, I agree with the argument, but other diseases, you know, is not. And the reality is you're asking that teacher to possibly manage and actually be responsible. If you know you have a child in a classroom that is autoimmune and that can literally be sick and die, and I know, honey, I totally hear you about your argument with your daughter. I'm not making light of it. And then you have another child who's in the room who is not vaccinated because they have not pulled their child out like you have done. And they should both be allowed to be in that classroom.
Then let's talk about how irresponsible that is. Because for me, as a parent of a complex child, to put her in a situation where I know
now
she could be exposed is irresponsible.
Yeah, but you go back to that affluent argument because unfortunately some people do not. I mean, you were talking to an original.
You know what? Yeah, I don't want to hear the single mom who homeschools and cares for a complex kid. I'm sorry. That's not an argument with me. I do.
Well,
this whole idea that we have to make a mandate and we have to pass a law because there's a handful of people who can't make
that.
The sacrifices.
I didn't say that.
For
I didn't
their
say
children. That.
But that's what this is about. This is about mandating a medical procedure, and the entire justification is to protect me and my child. Everybody else has to comply with this medical procedure. I am going to just...
I don't blame you.
I do not believe that is a... good fundamental principle to come back on. I just don't.
I agree with you as far as that, to some degree. But at the same time,
look,
you either stand for it or you don't.
No.
Oh, I'm getting loud. Mark's going to get mad at me in the booth.
Because it is.
I'm going to get riled up. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I cannot agree with that at all. Because it's a difference, Jackie. You're thinking as if you are one type of person and I am one type of person. Because I, trust me, personally, I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying. But what you have to remember is... our public is our public, which is kind of what we're arguing.
Our
is
public
okay,
is our public.
Okay,
they're uneducated. Did you hear that? Is that what we're ending
I did not say that.
I think the discussion was really good. And really I think with 2 minutes left in the show, we really need to wrap this up. So I want to thank Jackie Schlegel for coming.
Thanks,
texting.
Jackie.
Can I just close with our mission statement?
Let her pop
okay.
In.
You have 10 seconds.
Our mission statement is protecting and advancing informed consent, medical privacy, and vaccine choice. No matter where you stand on this issue, if you believe you are educated, smart enough to make vaccine decisions for yourself, you stand with Texans for Vaccine Choice.
Pro-choice, not anti-vaccine.
Right.
Very different.
Again, today's discussion was not whether we should have vaccines or not have vaccines. The discussion of the show was, should we mandate vaccines? And I think it was a great conversation today. It was a great start for our teaser. Again, people, in about 4 weeks, we're going to have an anti-vax and
I'll
a
help
pro-vax.
You out, Jackie.
And that's going to be exciting. Maybe Jackie will join us too. Maybe we'll
I'll be helping her out. There'll be a voice.
But I do want to say, for people that are listening, I want you to vote. You could vote now, or if you listen on podcast later, go on Common Ground Facebook site and tell us, do you believe yes or no? Should we mandate vaccines? Okay, yes or no? That's a simple question. So just telling you where we are, next week, next Tuesday, July 2nd at 12 o'clock, we will broadcast live. And our topic will be
Should we be allowed? Well, because you word it all differently every time. Should we be allowed to kneel during the anthem?
Should we be allowed to kneel during the anthem? Is it disrespectful? Respectful? We're going to talk about that on Tuesday. We have two great guests that we're going to announce this weekend very shortly. We thank you. Thank you for all listening today. Again, we've been sponsored by Elevated Roofing, Porsche Plano, Leisure Living Pools. Everybody take care. Remember, common ground. We all need to be on common ground. Discuss, talk, communicate.
Thanks, Facebook viewers.
Thank you.
God bless.
Please be advised that all opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of KBGI, the Common Ground, their affiliates, employees, or family members. The contents of this program are for informational purposes only. No advice of any type is being offered, nor are any products or services being solicited. Unauthorized rebroadcasting, editing, or distribution of this program are strictly prohibited. Please be advised that all